Off the Ball, GAA.
In our setup, it's the next man up. If things don't maybe run your way on a championship day or any day for that matter, the competition is really good.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
In the meantime, we say good morning to Dara. How are you?
Hi, Jer.
And Matthew, how are you?
How's it going?
You're a glass half empty man watching that last night.
No.
The defending here is terrible.
I knew this was going to happen as soon as I brought it up pre-show. No, I thoroughly enjoyed absolutely everything about that game last night, but I just think the facts are true that the defending wasn't exceptional. I think that's fine to point that out.
Two things can be true at once.
Yeah, two things can be true. Yeah, they're not mutually exclusive, but I still thoroughly enjoyed the game, and it is absolutely one of the greatest games we've ever seen.
I think the first half was off the charts.
Yeah.
Second half was a bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the last 20 minutes kind of tailed off a little bit.
I was surprised. I couldn't believe it when it went 5-2 that Bayern actually found some sort of way back in. Yeah. I only saw a trend in one way. I saw this going 7-8-9. And that through no fault of Bayern, really. I just felt as though the moment, and I know whatever about momentum, but if it just seemed as though that's the way the game was going and that Bayern would really have to dig it out. And by God, they did. Luis Diaz's goal, the ball over the top from Harry Kane. Oh, we could go through every goal and we could probably save for half an hour and it'd be very enjoyable.
I couldn't enjoy Luis Diaz's goal in the moment because I was like, oh, he's offside.
Yeah, it's one of them, isn't it?
And then afterwards, like, I should have really just gone with it.
Did you think he was offside?
I did, yeah.
In the moment,
I did,
didn't.
It just happened to be standing up watching it and be like, oh, he looks like.
Yeah.
And it looks like there's kind of body language from, in fairness to the lineswoman, she did exactly the right thing, didn't put her flag up.
Yeah, well. Oof. We still got a great goal out of it.
It actually counted, which was...
He looks on a different level, Luis Diaz, now with Bayern than he did. And whatever about Liverpool last year, maybe it was clear he wanted to leave. And whether that had any impact on his performance, I don't know. But he just seems...
Just hated Mo Salah.
Maybe so, yeah. but he just seems so sharp.
It's perfect system for him.
So sharp. His movements, everything about him. It's a cut above. And you could say that about pretty much every player that was on the pitch last night from... the midfield forward.
That front three is outrageous.
Yeah.
it's ridiculous.
It's the best in world football right now, I'd say. At least for entertainment factor.
Well, the other end of the, like, PSG's is good.
It's also pretty good.
Yeah.
It's between them two. I love Michael Olise. He didn't have a great second half, funnily enough. But in that first half, absolutely.
Do you know one thing that happened when they were 5-2 down? He got on the ball and he came back and was like... He didn't go missing.
He was so effective in the first half. Probably hard to match it again in the second period, but like just absolutely unplayable. And I was saying before the show this morning that he's just a throwback player and that he's not afraid to take anyone on. He's like watching Neymar back in the day. He's just looking to take his man on every time he gets on the ball. I'd happily say those type of things. I say in the first half, I'm just getting a little bit carried away. It's like, is he the best player in world football right now on form? Like, he's just unplayable. Who's marking him? Nuno Mendes is probably the best left back in the world by most people's account.
Yeah,
and he tore him apart for best parts of an hour. He's just so fun to watch. It's just mad that he's come from Crystal Palace.
The only thing about the like the defending and all that sort of thing, I don't think either manager will be leaving thinking, okay, that was like they will have enjoyed the experience, I'm sure, to some degree, and will be very happy with how the team has performed in the attacking sense. Neither will be delighted having conceded 5 and 4 goals respectively. But it is in the way the Champions League is now, with the fact that they got rid of the away goals, which is probably one of the best things UEFA have ever done. I think over the last couple of years that's sort of been proven, although there was sort of a lot of jeopardy there, and we did get some of the greatest moments with away goals there. A 5-4 win or 5-4 loss in today's currency is the same as a 1-0 win or 1-0 loss.
Yeah.
So it's an acceptance of an approach where we're going to try and outgun each other here, and it makes for great viewing. But there is also probably a bit of frustration as well, looking at it going,
well, at 5-2, why didn't Paris Saint-Germain just shut up?
Exactly, yeah. That you would have to ask that question, yeah. You would.
They obviously can't. They were incapable of
it. They don't have it in them. Yeah,
well, they were kicking the ball to the corner. I know that's something they do, but they were kind of setting up as if...
Yeah, what do you make of that? It's a very rugby thing, isn't it?
It's territory game,
Brentford doing it last season?
Yeah.
Did they rip it off Keith Andrews?
Well, yeah, possibly. I doubt it, but possibly.
Well, everybody watches everything.
Yeah.
It looks terrible.
I remember Brentford scored in the first 15, 20 seconds of every,
four games running.
Yeah. So I'd say the rest of world football was like, what are they doing? How did that work?
True,
show me that.
Point, yeah.
Do you remember they went through, I don't know if it was Brentford, but some teams in England went through a phase of just booting the ball in the air from kickoff. Just like Gary Owen.
Didn't somebody cause chaos. Last week?
Yeah, Liverpool.
They're still doing it. Yeah, I haven't
Liverpool
seen it in a while.
Last year as well.
It was really effective though, because it just creates chaos. Yeah, like the kickoff thing, I get it to an extent, but it just looks terrible. And I think it was when Bayern pulled it back to 5-4, they did it, I'm pretty sure. It's like, okay, what are you doing? this is now a close tie again. You could do with a goal going into an away game in Munich.
I guess the whole point is that the person throwing the ball in is off the pitch, and so therefore you have an extra man, and your advantage is that you can press up. And obviously,
yeah, I get it, yeah.
The keeper's not going to, generally, they're not going to throw it back to him. So the headline in the Telegraph is, "Swashbuckler stands death knell for cautious football." I think they're of a similar mind here to you, Matthew. Sam Wallace, the chief football writer, says, "This was four glorious games in one, a breathless 90-minute scoreline that looked like a two-leg aggregate. It felt like the death knell for the era of careful, possession-heavy football, replaced by something much more reckless and thrilling that might make a manager look like a visionary one moment and a novice the next." Now, that was Tuesday night. Wednesday night, we have Atletico Madrid versus Arsenal. The storms, the rain in Spain falls mainly on the Madrid stadium. Apparently there are massive storms due.
Oh, really?
Just before the game.
Oh, I thought this was some sort of, you know, pun as to Arsenal being boring.
And also this is the pitch.
Famously unplayable pitch, yeah.
That Barcelona complained about, obviously, killed Spurs. The Spurs keeper's made a comeback. He's alive.
Well, he's playing anyway.
He was the hero at the weekend.
Well, at the weekend, in fairness to him, yeah.
Yeah.
By
Spurs standards.
His narrative arc has recovered. I just wouldn't immediately assume that we're going to get something similar tonight from Mikel Arteta and Diego Simeone.
I don't think anyone is is assuming we're going to get anything like last night tonight. But in a weird sort of way, and I imagine a lot of people feel similar, or maybe they don't, I am incredibly intrigued by it, and I will watch it.
Oh yeah,
and I think I will enjoy it, even if it is that boring drab 0-0, purely just for it as a spectacle.
The novelty of it. Do they cancel each other out in terms of, like, they just go for it? Because they're like, well, we can't just both play a low block here and sit back. Someone's going to go and try and win this game.
I know it's been pointed out by people on the show before, but like, Atleti aren't Atleti, you know?
They're not the same.
Yeah, and that's not necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. We don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But they do offer a threat. They offer more of a threat than Arsenal do.
Sure.
They have attackers who are...
And from an enjoyment perspective, I think it's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
That, we had Dermot Corrigan on. He's like, that's not what they're like. And same with Graham recently. They've been very good in some games, particularly at home. Particularly in cup football, because they've basically decided that they're going to qualify for the Champions League next season. They're not putting any effort into that anymore. But I don't know. Do managers look at last night and go, that's exactly how we should play? That's what the fans want. That's what the players want. Or is there a Jose Mourinho who's being lined up again to take over Real Madrid, looking at that going, no. That's a tennis score. He used to give out about that.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have any impact on tonight's game. I think whatever plan is in place, all that's fine. But it's maybe going forward. I don't know.
So
yeah,
do you think?
And that is how it works. There's shifts in how people view the game and how approaches are made. But
there are when you can sign Kvaratskhelia and
players as well. Yeah,
Bradley Barclays on the bench.
Yeah.
There's not that many players out there that can just beat their man. You know, every given dribble, and like that's kind of crucial to that style of play, that you have someone that can just take
the
defenders on.
They both have brilliant wrong-footed dribblers.
Yeah,
wrong-sided. I don't know. It was sensational. Like, you couldn't but be
mesmerized by it. Yeah,
I do buy the point that maybe it's not one of the top five games of all time because of the quality of the defending. That was the argument that Kenny was putting forward on Premier Sports last night. Like, I have a little bit of sympathy for the...
He worded it slightly funny, I think, by saying it wasn't a great game. I think it was a great game.
But
in that context, you could actually absolutely make the argument that for it to be one of the greatest games of all time, you have to at least see some form of, defensive.
Otherwise, it's baller league. It's like 23, 22. Oh, it's the greatest game of all time. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
Ipe Meccano did have this like amazing bit of defending one with Dembele.
That was class.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But that was literally it.
Gary Breen, I don't know, I was watching it on Premier, they were saying, because obviously they'd grown up together and they brought all the people from the village over.
It was class.
And they're like, it's like on the centre stage, there's no one else in the shot. There's just the two of them in the half of the pitch. And I thought he was gone when the Dembele was sizing him up there, and he did well, to be fair to him, at Pamecano.
Fairness to Dembele, having had the horrific miss.
Yeah,
I thought he was going to miss the penalty off the back of having that miss, but the penalty was class.
Zipped it.
Now, I do wonder if he didn't have an old man in goals, would that have helped Bayern last night? He didn't actually move for any of the, like, he dived that way.
He was a couple of times,
already nesting in the bottom corner.
Yeah, there was a couple of them went in at funny sort of angles.
The one that goes in off the upright.
Yeah.
He hasn't moved. Now, in fairness, he's wrong-footed, but...
Kvaerts Kelly is the fourth goal, I think it is, as well.
He hits the first time, he dives.
Centrally. He goes early.
Early, yeah.
But even as well, like, this is the other side of it too. Like, Elise's goal in the first half is, I'm actually forgetting who's scoring all the goals and when it actually happened, but one where he's in the middle of the pitch.
Yeah, and he's going straight down.
Going straight through.
Thunder bastard from inside the penalty area.
And it's also like, it's right in the middle of the goal.
Yeah.
It's like, keeper's gone early again, like the midfielders haven't bothered to put a foot in. Like, you can look at
the power he gets on it, though, is
With no backlift as well.
I think it might have killed him if it had hit him in the head.
Possibly, yeah. It may have been harsh on him.
Send the ambulance on, the keeper's dead.
Yeah.
Elise has killed him.
Yeah, I wonder would Donnarumma have maybe kept it out, though.
I don't know. I mean, I saw Shea Given say before the game at halftime, like, that's why they're not going to win. I'm not sure.
It was at halftime, he was like, he kind of went in on Safnov right at the end before they cut away to the break. He was like, by the way, he's going to be the reason they don't win this game if they don't, because they got rid of Donnarumma.
It's funny.
I think that's slightly harsh.
It probably is slightly harsh to put it solely on him, I suppose, but they did spend 40 million on Chevalier as well in the summer, who's sitting on the bench because he started season poorly. Again, it just shows that when you do have that kind of wealth at your disposal. But to be fair to PSG, credit where credit's due, they have switched their kind of approach. And we spoke about this a lot last year when they went to win the Champions League, but like, the players they're signing now are not the players they were signing when this first happened, and it's more serious for Ulek.
The age profile of the team is ludicrous at this point. Dembele's the old man at 28, and you're like, whoa, if they bring it together, if they win again this year, you're suddenly talking,
like, they're getting to bring Barkla off the bench. You're like, here, what a player. What did you say?
Miss Hockey wants to leave, isn't there?
Yeah,
he's like, always getting linked with clubs. He's linked with Arsenal.
Probably just because he's not getting starting minutes, but even Desiree Doué, who's kind of taking a back seat in that team with all the talent, but he's such a quality player.
Can't get enough of him.
Is Neves really 21?
He's about that, maybe a little older.
Like,
two, maybe. Yeah.
It's just the defence. Like, they probably, Marquinhos.
Individual defenders, though, they're not bad players. Like,
no, the fullbacks are.
It's just the way they play. Like,
you know, 21, they're not 22 till September.
Yeah. But like the individual, like, Marquinhos is a good defender. Pacho is a good defender. Nuno Mendes is a brilliant defender. It's just the way they play. And it's a point I always make about, not to come back to Arsenal, but like, if you had Gabriel, if you had Timber, if you had Saliba playing in that PSG team, I think the same thing would happen. It's just the way they set up. If you swapped and you put Pacho and you put Nuno Mendes and you put Marquinhos into the Mikel Arteta system, we would be talking about them in a completely different light. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's just it's the approach that the managers are taking to the game. And this huge credit, I mean, like, I know Bayern came out on the wrong side of it last night, but are well and truly still in the tie. Vincent Kompany is, the fact he's managed to get all of those players who are individually excellent, particularly going forward, and him as a defender, viewing the game as a defender for however many years, to get them playing the way they are,
playing off each other,
and combining the way they are, and having the balance so perfect is, and with players missing too. I mean, like, Gnabry was someone who'd have had a massive impact on them over the last couple of months, and he's out now. It's just, I know it always comes back. If you finish every point by just going back to how great it was to watch,
should be a good second leg.
You're going?
I am going.
That's class.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
That's class.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, that is going to be unbelievable.
Very jealous.
I like half time, I was a little bit, this could go 6-2 here, and second leg is going to be a little faster. And then it went 5-2. I was like, oh God. But then, wow, 5-4.
That's going to be something else.
Like, I feel like Bayern have a hand or two to play as well. If Leonard Carroll is the kind of young prospect that's come through the season in the league, I don't know. Like, if maybe back for the final if they make it. But yeah, they still. Like,
see, I actually expected, like, you know, I hate predictions because you're always wrong. You're always made to look like an idiot. But I had a feeling that I actually would have had a feeling that Bayern were more defensively frail than PSG were. And I think, you know, that might still be true. But I thought that actually might come to fruition next week when Bayern are at home, in that they might be a bit more susceptible at the back. But it actually happened last night, so
you know.
It still might happen again. I mean,
but they do have to come out.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. But I mean, we saw in the Real Madrid game in the last round, there was plenty of goals in that one too, so.
Okay, some comments for you. Game of the year says S00065705. Snappy name.
Runs off the tongue.
Yeah.
The Kenny Cunningham, of course, didn't enjoy it. Old man shouts at clouds. I don't think that was his point. I think, in fairness, the point was, and there's some merit to it, that like the greatest game of all time probably needs some good defenders playing well.
Now, yeah.
To your point, more
of those moments.
Like,
in fairness, they were looking for that out of him, I thought. They kept saying to him,
a few good
from an attacking point of view, Kenny, it wasn't great. Like, half joke at him, but yeah, eventually.
He did say he'd rather the 2003 Champions League final between AC Milan and Juventus over that game yesterday, but. Yeah.
You guys should do a rewatch of that and see what you think of it.
Yeah, it's a fair point, yeah.
I've never watched it in full, I'm aware of the game, but
120 minutes and penalty.
I just know that's rubbed people up the wrong way.
Yeah.
I haven't sat through it myself, obviously.
Liam Brady afterwards was like, this is one of the all-time great games. And obviously he was, you know, he knew his Italian football very well. Shifty, lads, it's actually hard to defend when the ball isn't going backwards and sideways. The defenders can't get set and everything is done quickly, which is a fair point. It is obviously much harder to defend when you're in that. And then also, imagine if Jack Grealish had played for either of these teams last night. At least it would have been boring with Pep if he was in the same era, maybe even now.
It's an interesting thought, isn't it?
Like, that's Sam Wallace's point, right? It's like, this is a rebuttal of the Pep era.
Yeah.
And the Pep era is obviously coming to an end. And it was incredibly... You have to assume that Spain copied Pep's Barcelona and won a World Cup and won a European Championship back-to-back and played some of the best football at international level.
It coincided ever so slightly, I suppose, didn't it? With, like, the 08 Spain team, they won the Euros. It was around the same time.
Oh, totally. It was a carpet, and it was, you know.
Yeah.
Just adding in Fernando Torres. Like, take Messi out, put Torres in. And it was the dominant football narrative. It's like loads of people have decided that possession is the best way to control things. And it probably is over a long period of time. I guess they just have created two squads here who are capable of doing something totally different. I don't think this, for example, is going to be how most teams in the Premier League play football next season, because they don't have...
Yeah, you don't have the players for that.
Kvaratskhelia or Olise. I don't... You know, they might go looking for dribblers. It's interesting that Everton wanted dribblers and maybe that's David Moyes would be a brilliant manager of either of these teams.
But that is the thing as well. I think in a kind of unintended consequence, or maybe an intended consequence of that whole control thing and the possession and all that sort of stuff, makes us believe that a lot of the players we look at aren't capable of
doing this.
And maybe they are. Maybe they are out there. I mean, I look at that City team and Pep has kind of let the leash off a little bit on some of them, probably reluctantly with Shirky and with Doku and all these players. But I'm thinking, like, if I'm looking at Ryan Shirky in that game last night, or I'm looking at someone like Doku in that game, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah,
there are definitely players out there that probably would be held in a much higher regard if they were playing in a team like that. I would also say there probably is a small bit of PSG playing a league. Now, they haven't walked Ligue 1 this year, but they will still go on winning. You'd have to imagine, I think they're 5 or 6 points clear. Bayern are well clear in the Bundesliga. I don't think you could play like that for 50, 60 games a season.
And they don't have to.
They don't have to.
Yeah, that does... Yeah, help.
But to be able to flare up when you need to is
There's an art behind that too.
Are we all in on Vincent Kompany, or is it coincidental that he wasn't on the touchline last night? They're playing some of the best stuff we've ever seen.
I'm having him as a manager. Yeah, for sure.
He's done enough now.
Yeah. I think so.
I think so too.
Yeah. No, I would agree. You can't take that away from him. I still think If I was a Burnley fan, I'd be a bit annoyed. But,
yeah.
But I'm not a Burnley fan, so sorry.
Burnley,
got them up,
surely
got them back,
there
yeah.
is like a, hey, that's one of our guys.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I still do with Roberto Martinez at Wigan, and sure, people don't like him. But I still hold on to it that he's managing Portugal, and he's had a little bit of success. But yeah, no, you would be. But at the same time, I still rubs him up a little bit the wrong way.
The Pep and City thing, this, I think they've actually just come around to, maybe he's seen that and there's a shift happening in world football, and that's why they signed Cherki, and that's why they signed Semenyo, and that's why he's playing Doku more as well, and that he realises that
he's actually embraced this.
This isn't going to last forever. Yeah, you can't play this game forever, and that there are teams like Bayern and PSG in the Champions League that are going to come along with those fullbacks and with those wingers, and you just have to adapt to it.
This is why I actually really want him to stick around now.
Yeah.
He built that team and they look like they're going to be good. If he can, you know, keep Rodri, for example. Like, there's a world in which Man City lose Rodri, Silva, Stones is gone, we know, and Pep. And it's a totally different thing next year. It's Maresca playing a version of what they used to play. But, like, you know, until Maresca shows us he can do something brilliant with his team, like create great foot. Now, they did obviously win the World Club Cup. Did anybody see any of it?
No.
Oh, no. Just celebrations after.
They hammered PSG in the final.
I know, yeah, but like, how did that happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
In the heat of America.
Let us know in the comments if you watched the Club World Cup.
Yeah.
Sorry, there's a few more here I just wanted to get to. Keith Arthur and Owen make great second screen watching last night, says Carol Leary. So make sure to do that again next week if you're watching the game on telly. Jose's Real will put a stop to all that end-to-end nonsense last night. Well, it will be interesting to see how he responds with his team of stars who could also play like this.
Is it just me or I have no interest in seeing Jose back at Real?
Oh, I do.
I have no interest. Say,
I know he's had some questionable things he's done in recent times that he shouldn't have done. And is 100% called into question his character. It will still be box office. It will be. 100% it will be. And those big Champions League nights, Jose is made for them. Although, as I say, he didn't cover himself with glory in the last big Champions League night he had.
Nebo898 says, Arsenal played like that under Emery. Heart attack stuff. I actually don't really remember that much about the
It was in a different type
played.
Of fashion, though. I don't know if it was exciting football as much as it was anxious and messy.
Yeah, I don't recall it well enough. The main thing I remember from the Emery era was Nicolas Pepe scoring 2 free kicks in a couple of minutes in the Europa League.
Yeah.
That's the height that I remember from that period.
Nicolas Pepe, I seem really, in retrospect, cost him his job because he was so expensive.
For sure, yeah.
And it sounds like he went to bat for him.
Yeah.
And his record in the transfer market is not great.
No, it's not. Even still, yeah.
This is definitely the best game of football I've seen in absolutely ages, lads. Every brilliant game over the years has some dodgy defending. That's why the best games are with attacking flair, says Dermot Keenan. Nil all draw next week, so he's saying... Neil Lennon said he was at the 0-3 final and it was rubbish. I don't think it was rubbish.
I'd say he was caught up in the moment last night. I'd say he would probably...
He was giving up because Gattuso was man of the match. Yeah. He hates Gattuso for the Rangers connection.
The Rangers thing, yeah.
Terry Kelly in the comments there. He's done something we all would have feared going into a game like this. Little angry at myself. Had a few too many beers after work yesterday and thought, it's only Champions League. Went to bed early. Terry.
That's crazy.
Terry. What were you thinking, man?
Went to bed after a few beers early. Surely that would have powered you through. Have a few more.
Yeah. Energized you.
Yeah.
Got you up for it. Yeah, nah.
It was dual screening myself last night, actually, not to move away from this too quickly, but...
Go on.
Your Austin Championship.
Ipswich Southampton served up a cracker.
Ryan Manning scored again.
Yeah, he's playing unbelievable.
Southampton legend Matt Letizia, free kick connoisseur watching in the stands as well. You might question whether it really happened, but it did happen. Ryan Manning did score the free kick.
Who was watching from the stands?
Matt Letizia.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he was up there. He was enjoying the game.
Avoiding the chemtrails.
Yes, exactly. Yes, yeah. He was under the. He was well sheltered. Finizaz won the free kick. Ryan Manning took it. Took a nick on the way through. Went in. That made it 1-1. They then went 2-1 up. Ryan Manning got the assist as well.
All right.
Driving forward.
Absolutely. And so this was
a huge game. Like,
because Ipswich are second.
It's
a proper 6-pointer essentially.
Like Southampton have gone on this amazing run.
And they would be 2 points off with 2 games left to go.
They would have
if
been.
They'd won.
Yeah, and like the whole thing is that like there's 4 teams bidding for this final kind of automatic promotion spot. So you have Ipswich. Last night, Ipswich were on 80 points. Millwall were on 80 points. Middlesbrough were on 79 and Southampton were on 76. So if Southampton had won, you would have been going in. You would have been going into the final day with Ipswich on 80, Millwall on 80, Middlesbrough on 79, and Southampton on 79.
So there's only one game left.
One game left now. Oh, yeah. So early Saturday, all on at the same times. But Ipswich obviously got a late equaliser. Jack Clark scored a bit of a whirly, and so it leaves them in pole position. Southampton now have to settle for the playoffs. But it's still to be decided, really. You've got Ipswich are at home to Harvey Vale's QPR. Yeah.
Southampton, the start of the season, were not going well.
Well, it was Will Still. Yeah.
Yeah, they were not going well. So wasn't getting
any sort of tune out of them.
And the thing about the playoffs is you're like, oh, they've surged into them. They're going to be great. And it's like, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
Nothing matters.
No, it's not. Because it's the thing, and that's the stereotype is, yeah, these are the ones on form, they're going to go and do it. But like that actually... That might be true. They might go and do it, but it's actually not usually how it works out.
Yeah.
I see Noel Cal saying the point actually meant nothing. Ipswich says they still need to win on the last day, one game left. It is true to a point. They could get away with a draw, I think. No, they couldn't actually. You're right. Millwall will. Yeah. So they will need to go and win against QPR. Right. But QPR are beached. They're on all this. They're not playing for anything. So you'd imagine they still go and get it done. But they're very unconvincing. I don't think they've won their last five games, or they've won one of their last five games or something. So they're falling over the line. And that's something I would read into, to a point. When a team has just narrowly missed out on automatic promotion, they're going into the playoffs. It's tough to get yourself up for it.
Wrexham in with a shout.
Yeah, Wrexham. Yeah, so that's the other side. Like, there's so many different storylines. We can go through it again and closer to time. But I don't want to spend too much time on it. But like,
yeah.
you've got Derby, you've got Wrexham, and you've got... Hull fighting out for the last spot there, 1 point between
them.
Wrexham and Hull are on 70, Derby are on 69, and Derby have a better goal difference than the other two, and the other two have considerably tougher fixtures. So Derby could theoretically snake into the playoffs with a draw if the other two don't win. So there's going to be so much stuff going on there, and there's so much Irish links to all of it as well. Yeah. Like, there's Irish players playing for all these clubs and paying huge parts for all these clubs. So, but last night's game was brilliant. Like, and any given night, like if that wasn't clashing with what we were looking at last night, we would be talking about it in a bit of depth here tonight.
Yeah.
Like, with the Irish involvement, and the championship never ceases to amaze.
I love the playoffs. Like.
A question in the comments. So do the Antrim hurlers want Davey gone or not? And I have to say, from the statements that, from the letter that they sent to the county board, it's difficult to know. I suspect they don't, from the language they
use. That's what I was thinking, yeah.
But I'm not sure. Are they like...
When I saw the headline initially, I thought they wanted him to leave. Then I read into it, and I was like,
"That would be your initial thought, purely based off of the fact that they're terrible at the minute." Yeah,
and
where they
this
are,
would be a good opportunity for them to distance themselves from the thing that they've caused themselves. Which, you know, let's face it, most of humankind always does. It's like, oh, there's a scapegoat. Let's take it. Mm. But anyway, they didn't train last night. I don't know if everybody's familiar with the story, but yesterday afternoon, a letter got leaked that had apparently been sent to the chairman of the Antrim County Board saying that the players demanded that the county board come to training and explain what had happened with regard to the manager. It was alleged that the manager was told that he was being replaced. It subsequently emerged that it's believed, I'm qualifying a lot of this because the Antrim County Board have denied everything, right? So somebody else was asked to take the job on an interim basis. They turned it down. Davey told the players that this had all happened, and because your man turned it down, apparently the county board were like, okay, you can stay. Now, Davey says to the players this happened. The Antrim County Board have issued a statement, and John Fogarty, the examiner, has the quotes on Twitter. Antrim Chairman Seamus McMullen, I would like to be clear. At no point was any decision taken to remove Davey Fitzgerald from his position as senior hurling manager. This was confirmed at the county committee meeting of the 27th of April, so that's 2 nights ago. Antrim senior hurling results and performances this season have been very disappointing and have understandably caused frustration for everyone. As a county committee, we will always work hard to take decisions in the best interest of Antrim. Full stop. She obviously says nothing apart from we did not do those things that we were accused of. But the players had obviously written to the board saying the Antrim senior hurling squad wish to formally raise a number of concerns. They haven't got their gear, which is like the GPA charter says you have to have a certain amount of gear, which would suggest things are not going well at all. Now, I do wonder if there's much sympathy from the Antrim hurling public about the fact that they haven't got their gear.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Do you know, it's like, oof, you got beaten by Down in the league, got beaten by Down in the championship. And if there's not enough money for gear, what question hangs pregnant in the air in the aftermath of that?
Yeah.
So, there's significant concern surrounding the situation involving Davy. Now, first name only, right?
Yeah.
Like Beyonce. There is significant
it's
concern.
It's amazing how he's managed to do that.
Surrounding the situation.
Such a common name.
Involving Davy. It's understood that a decision was made to remove Davy from his position only for that decision to be later reversed. When this was subsequently raised in question, the squad was informed no such action had taken place. Furthermore, when this was brought to Seamus, McMullen, the chairman, was asked directly about the matter and indicated that he had no knowledge of it. This is particularly concerning given that Davy, other members of the management team, have all confirmed that the sequence of events did in fact occur. The contradiction between what occurred and what has been communicated has created uncertainty and a lack of trust among the players. Well, that would suggest that there's a lack of communication and trust between the county board and the manager.
Yeah.
So, you know, the players are taken at face value what one group say and not what another group say.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'd wonder if... I don't know how this is going to end because they...
It's a bizarre one. It is a bizarre one.
Potentially the... The players actually just feel a bit indifferent in terms of whether they want David to stay or not, but it's just the fact that they were hearing one thing and they've been told another, and that's just frustrating them.
Yeah, I lean that way myself. I think I'm not getting any indication that they want him gone or they love him. I'm getting an indication that they're like, and maybe that's an intentional thing that they don't want it to be seen as either way, but I think they're just looking for clarity as to what the hell's going
on. Yeah, like, that's it. Like,
so Seamus McMullen has actually issued a full statement here. Antrim GAA received correspondence issued on behalf of players from the senior hurling squad yesterday. We fully acknowledge the concerns raised in the letter. I've assured players' representatives I'm treating these issues very seriously and I will issue them or address them directly. Prior commitments that could not be changed at short notice meant a meeting on the same day the letter was received was not possible, which is, I suppose, fair enough. Mm. We are working closely with players' representatives and my priority is making sure we move forward together. At no point was any decision taken to remove Davy from his position, he actually uses his full name, Davy Fitzgerald, from his position as senior hurling manager, confirmed at the county committee meeting on the 27th, the day before.
It's Monday.
As a county committee, we'll always work hard to make decisions in the best interest of Antrim GAA. As a lifelong Gael, I believe these decisions must be taken in the right way.
No further comment.
It's just one of those things where...
It's private.
Yeah. They're having... such a poor season. The last thing you need is a split between the players and the board. Like, and
no, but the Davy experiment has been a failure.
100%, yeah.
And like,
without doubt,
do it in the right way though. In terms of like, keep everyone like up to date on what's going on. Don't start.
Their claim, I suppose, is that nothing has gone on. You know,
I know. Yeah,
I'm sure they had a conversation about it. And maybe they sounded somebody out as a potential in case it did happen. And it's like, and that's what happens in reality. It's like, there's a depth chart here.
Yeah.
If we were to get rid of him, if he was to walk, if the players were to have a heave, what would happen here? Who's our backup plan?
Yeah.
Someone asked the backup, would you be interested in this? He's like, absolutely not, no way.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
People like, would go mad as well if he was to leave for one reason or another and there was no... plan in place, it would be a case of why is everything so reactionary? Why are we not kind of, you know?
And that doesn't mean that they've taken a decision to get rid of him.
No, it doesn't. No.
But
I saw that with Manchester United and Eric Ten Hag.
Well,
talking to everyone, and then suddenly they kept Ten Hag.
Exactly. Ten Hag was a way more successful Manchester United manager than,
of course,
Davy has been at Antrim.
Yeah, not
Antrim. Yeah, he feasibly could have, you know, been sacked during the summer. Like or the end of last season, I don't think there was too many, you know, Antrim hurling fans were too excited to, you know, go through another season with Davy. But it's kind of sad to see, like, as a Ulster GAA kind of supporter, it's Antrim have always dominated, or at least in my lifetime, that kind of scene. And you always do want to, or always wanted a team to come through, like Down are doing now, and have beaten them twice this season. But at the same time, it is just sad to see the kind of decline.
Yeah. You would wonder.
You'd want that to be happening in a division up as opposed
100%,
to...
100%, yeah.
As far off Broadway as they are at the moment. Neil McManus has a column in the Irish News this morning talking about how development squads of the top 12 counties, there's only, is it one or two of them, the development squads train once a week.
Mm.
Everybody else is training multiple times a week and it's Antrim and somebody else, he doesn't name the other one. And he's like, look, whatever happens, survive this season. And it's about survival now. And then at the end of the year, everybody needs to get together and go, this is totally broke. Now, it's been totally broke for three decades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's been loads of money and we've done countless pieces on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terence McNaughton was good on it.
You know, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's gotten as bad as it has on the pitch, which is brings it to light.
I just hope on the down thing, and I would be positive on it, that things are trending in the right way up there, but you would just hope that these kind of results that are coming against Antrim aren't solely based off the fact that Antrim are a bit of a mess at the moment.
Yeah, like, look, if Down make a Joe McDonagh Cup final, that's certainly progress. That's like, okay,
Down
are coming on, yeah.
I wouldn't even go that far. I would think, like, they've had two wins this year. They don't usually get two wins. Like, they weren't, I suppose, as convincing as maybe they would have liked to be against London at the weekend, but they're usually the one team up from the team that goes down.
Yeah.
Excuse the down pun, but yeah. I wouldn't even say making a Joe McDonagh final is necessary to be regarded as progression, but
but
they're capable of doing that, I would imagine, or they believe they are anyway.
It becomes a reality then of like, right, this has been a massive season for Dave.
Tangible, yeah.
Yeah. You have a chance to do it.
A couple of other things we need to talk about. If you want to get in touch, 087-9180-180 is the WhatsApp number. You can also leave a comment on the YouTube stream. Harry Kane, very good at football.
Oh, I love him.
This is just a moment to appreciate Harry.
Yeah.
There was a nothing ball out to the left wing where he looks like he's too slow to get to it. And, oh, it's why Harry Kane isn't actually, you know, like at the level of Mbappe or Messi or any of those players who would have been like considered the best player in the world. And then suddenly he just gets there, falls on the ground. When he's on the ground, controls it, uses that swift control to get away from three players, drops the shoulder, pings a pass. And you're like, whoa, that was amazing.
Yeah.
He's kind of the perfect foil for the other two.
That comes back to what I was saying about company getting the best out of all these players, and you deserve credit for that, but I mean the individual talent, like, yeah, you're right. Like, the foil for the other two, as you say, opposite footed wingers, you know, of the wing they're playing on, and him coming in deep and still scoring a ridiculous amount of goals. I was just looking, I know like the Bundesliga can be slightly skewed and we know how many players come over and score those goals and go to England and it doesn't work out, whatever. He scored 138 goals in 142 games for Bayern Munich.
That's good.
He's 54 this season.
You would argue his play outside of that is more impressive than his goal scoring, which is ridiculous.
And look, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing in terms of the anarchy of the positioning, but when they were 5-2 down, he was back, dropping back at the centre back, making tackles and chasing stuff down. Like, so obviously, you know, he has fully embraced what it means to be a leader in Bayern Munich. Sometimes you want your striker to be an out ball, and that's where
you
to get out. But like,
and he got criticism for that. He held a lot of stick in England for that too, and he was dropping deep, and things weren't going well for Spurs. And it was this guy needs to be up there, and he needs to be digging us out of holes, and he needs to be scoring goals. But that was the other side of his game that perhaps got lost ever so slightly. That passing range we were talking about before, I don't actually know exactly who said it, but about him being one of the best passers in the world, and he has
it
been.
It was Jamie Carragher.
I distinctly remember, I don't know what it was and how I ended up watching him so much, and it kind of went down in a blaze of fire. But that Conte edition of Spurs where they were playing the marauding wing backs, Matt Doherty was one of them, and Harry Kane was playing up front, and he was like, he was scoring loads of goals, but he was dropping in deep and playing these balls in over the top, like akin to what he did for Luis Diaz for that assist last night. And I just think he's an absolute joy to watch. Like, he's an absolute joy to watch.
Katie Taylor's on the front of some of the tabloids this morning. I don't know if it's from the interviews she did with Claire Byrne or elsewhere yesterday, but she's talking about wanting the ole 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 chant ringing around Croke Park and how that's the only fitting end to her career to bring that home. She confirmed that she'd had a meeting in Croke Park with Brian Peters, her manager, and Eddie Hearn and Peter McKenna. So those conversations are happening about that fight. It was also earlier this week that Eddie Hearn had tweeted about the fact that Joshua Fury was going to happen. That was a Monday. Was it Monday? Yeah, so Wednesday morning we wake up to the news that there's a bit of an issue about when the fight might happen.
This is amazing.
I haven't seen this.
So the Saudi power broker is Turki Al-Asik.
Yeah, Turki.
He obviously is the piper, and the piper he who pays the piper calls the tune, and the tune is Dua Lipa, not the fight. Joshua Fury will fight, but Dua Lipa will sing at the fight, and that's going to happen. And everybody's like, yeah, okay, that's no problem. But Dua Lipa's getting married in September, so the fight can't be in September.
So that's why we don't have a date yet.
No date yet, because we don't know when she's available. She's obviously touring. She's marrying an actor.
Yeah, Callum your man Turner. Who's in, he's, I think he's in a Beatles film that's coming out.
Oh,
I forget his name. I think
Callum
so.
Turner.
I think so.
Yeah.
They're reportedly due to be married in September, and she's going to sing.
It's bizarre.
That is brilliant. That is brilliant.
And the fight won't take place until she's in the building singing for.
They do. So Turki Al-Sheikh is Yeah, he is Riyadh season. You know Riyadh season, okay, like yeah. Snooker and yeah. all the darts as well, and the boxing, obviously.
So I guess the fight's going to be in Riyadh.
Oh, no, not necessarily, no. They do have a lot of Riyadh season events.
Oh,
right,
of course,
yeah.
They had the Saudi flags flying over Wembley
yeah,
that time.
Playing the anthem and everything, yeah, so...
Maybe it'll be in...
I think it'll be in Wembley, or it'll be in Spurs.
It should be in England somewhere, shouldn't yeah. it?
Although they might not be able to do it in Spurs if they're playing Tuesday, Saturday next yeah. season.
I'd say they'd find a way to do
no, they work it out. They work it out.
Yeah, so that's
That's a mental story.
It's a mad
that's
story, brilliant. Isn't it? Brilliant. There's all just on the boxing while we're there. Pierce O'Leary's had a fight announced as well for the 1st of August. He's going to be fighting Mark Chamberlain in the Tree Arena again. Obviously, drew an amazing crowd a couple of months ago now at this stage with Anto Kakachi on the main event.
Yeah,
it was that weekend. So
great if there can be a non-Paddy's Day fight. That's not just an occasion that people are going to, that actually they're following him now.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. And we've had a couple of different Irish boxers on over the last little while. I'm sure they'll be on the card too. And that's obviously Queensbury, that's Frank Warren coming back over. So that'll be their second card here in as many months, really, in a couple of months. And it's been a long time since we've had kind of big Irish boxing over here properly on a consistent basis. There's a lot of work going on, I suppose, in the domestic scene too. And that shouldn't be forgotten about. But it is good to see this, and that helps everything. It's like a rising tide, I suppose. Rising tide lifts all.
To the Arsenal Madrid game, the Madrid Arsenal game tonight. So, Atletico Madrid obviously they signed Julian Alvarez for what everybody thought was, oh, that's ridiculous money. Look at City, they're playing the game and everybody's stupid. Now, Alvarez they're going to sell him for a profit, it looks like, potentially to Barcelona if they can find the money, but also to Arsenal. They're the other team who are suddenly very interested in this. Is this to settle them in advance of the game? It's like, oh, we're going to sign your best player with us. And then he smashes a hat-trick against him and goes, I'm not going to you. I don't know. It's just a bit weird that the story's out this week. I know they've obviously been after him for a while, but like, in whose interest is it that the story's out this week?
It wouldn't be of any great benefit to Atletico Madrid or to...
no.
To Julian Alvarez.
It doesn't feel like it, does it? It's the type of thing Wenger used to do when he was... they'd be playing Villa and he'd always be like, oh, their best player's really good. I really like him. And then he'd play shit and it'd be like, oh, he got in your head there, did he? Ashley Young.
That's a distinct memory you have there. That's a real callback.
That's a strange one, yeah.
I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. So I do hope he smacks in 2 free kicks tonight. And
he's well capable of doing it too.
Say he does, I know this isn't the point, but he goes to Arsenal next season. What happens to Jokeres?
Well,
you're just on the bench?
He's on the bench at the minute anyway, whenever they really seem to be playing in a big game. Like, he's not going to be anymore, I suppose, with Havertz gone. But.
So they have Gabriel Jesus and they have Jokeres and they have Kai Havertz. And Havertz and Jesus are obviously slightly injury prone. So they're talking about Arsenal not being able to spend $250 million again this summer without selling some players. And the available players, them and Odegaard, obviously, suddenly from being club captain and, oh, we only play our good football when Odegaard's playing, is like, maybe we could do without this.
Sensible.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know who's going to spend a lot of money on Odegaard.
Yeah, you don't know. Again, is he one of these players that when he kind of gets out of this
thing,
does he just
get
a new lease of life and he's like Rolls Royce around the midfield?
Maybe. Didn't make it at Real Madrid.
Mm.
You know, obviously signed as a 16-year-old amidst some of the biggest fanfare we've heard of any 16-year-old since fucking Freddie Adu.
Since Luke Littler.
Exactly. and would you say...
In fairness, that midfield at the time was pretty good.
You
know.
He was higher rated than all the hype around Arda Güler or...
Brian Diaz.
Or any of those players. Like, Odegaard, the whole world wanted to sign him and Real Madrid got him.
Yeah, I remember, yeah. Yeah, I saw. I think he's still done pretty well for himself. I think he's a lot to offer as a footballer. I think he's a really quality player.
He's gone like the other way now. I remember there was a point, I remember Gary Neville making a comment at one point about him being on the same level as De Bruyne at one period. It might have been a particular like couple of weeks or whatever, but the importance he had on the Arsenal team was similar to the importance that De Bruyne had on the Manchester City team. But there was also a bit of criticism that came his way because I remember he used to just shoot a lot. He used to be like outside the box and he would just take pot shots. Like, and people used to get frustrated as, why is he doing that? And now it's kind of gone the other way where he seems slightly, not, I wouldn't say afraid, but he just doesn't do that anymore. he kind of has gone the polar opposite the other way. So I don't know, maybe, again, we talk about the shackles being let off a lot in Gaelic football at the minute. Maybe he's one of those that just needs to be told, go on out, be out, go out there and be the guy. The same we talk about Grealish too. I mean,
maybe he goes to Barcelona or somewhere like that and thrives, and that's the environment. Maybe he goes to Atletico Madrid and thrives. Maybe it's Spanish football or something like that. Or could he be a midfielder for this Bayern team and help them keep the ball?
That's where my mind went, yeah, when we started talking about him there.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Off the Ball. GAA.
In our setup, it's the next man up. If things don't maybe run your way on a championship day or any day for that matter, the competition is really good.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.